summarize what we have accomplished during this 40 days. Let's take a look at our ground of the heart. Let's take a look at our house of the heart. Let's take a look whether we have brought ourselves to the state of purification where the Lord can enter, whether our heart had been worked on and cultivated, whether it can grow fruits. Let's take a look at the 40 days that we have struggled had brought us benefit. Tomorrow, already as we heard in the Vespers today, the celebration is of the resurrection of Lazarus. That was already absolutely dead for 4 days, and there was no one had any hope that he would ever be resurrected. Let's try to bring our own mind to ourselves. Let's understand, even though that we may have had no hope of being resurrected, we see we don't seem to be able to get out of our bad habits. Our passions, which they seem to come back and back over and over again. Let's see if we have prepared ourselves as Vazir. Let's see if we have died to the world in these 40 days, if we have died to ourselves. Let's see if we have managed to bury the old man. And let's see if the Lord is going to resurrect us. The heart is all that God wants from us. He doesn't want anything else, just the heart. For the heart is the barometer of the soul. Our heart, in it we have feelings. We feel love or we feel hate. We have peace or we have anger and irritation. In the heart we feel the grace of God or we feel the torture of the enemy. In the heart we feel either peace or we feel irritation and discombobulation. Our heart either is soft and we will feel the knees of our neighbor, or we harden it up and we cannot feel anything. Through our heart come the blessing for the Lord. Through our heart come the real prayer. But also through the heart comes the thoughts of impurities, fornication, anger and hatred, murder, and all the things that are evil, the blasphemies, come from the heart. How is it possible? Let's look at that heart. The heart is a pump that pumps the blood throughout all the system. When all the heart stops, then the life stops. Everything comes to a standstill. But God made the heart to be very sensitive. Very sensitive so you and I can start to feel things outside of just the material. God had made for that pump, the heart, to be able to be sensitized, but only if we can work on it. There are people walking in the world that never had their heart sensitized. And they would not understand what I'm talking about. These people in the world are these that Christ said that they are dead. As we heard recently in the Gospel, where the Lord was asked if he could follow him. A man asked if he could follow the Lord. And the Lord said, but first allow me to go and bury my father. And the Lord says, no, you follow me, let the dead bury the dead. These are the people in the world that have a desensitized heart that they cannot feel. that they are stone. They are not made of flesh. If that is the case in you and me, let us run to the Lord and say, God, take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, so that I will be sensitive to the grace of God, so that I will be sensitive to the evil spirits, so that I'll be able to guard my heart from the evil spirits, so that they will not take me prisoner. Because there's no way, if my heart doesn't feel anything, there's no way I can ever find a way to stop the enemy from entering into it. If my heart doesn't feel the grace, if my heart doesn't feel the terrible dominion of the kingdom of hell, if I'm oblivious of all that, there's no way I can protect myself from being possessed by the evil one. If that is the case with us, where our heart is desensitized, it is not feeling anything, and how does it become desensitized? Does a child, little child, is it born with a heart like that? No. The world desensitizes our heart when we are not willing to accept the crosses. When we, this, as a protection of self-love and self-esteem, we ourselves desensitize our heart and make it grow colder and colder so that we will not feel the pain or that is being inflicted upon us by circumstances, by the world, by our neighbors, by even members of our families. We ourselves harden up in our heart. We turn against God because we do not want to carry His crosses, the crosses that He gives us. That we are not willing to feel the pain of the love or to be disappointed in the trust and the love that we give. We ourselves are to be blamed for having a heart of stone. The Lord gives us a chance to change all that. He started the whole Lent, Great Lent, for asking forgiveness of each other. This was meant to force ourselves to humble ourselves before the face of each other, before our brother. Let's say we did it. We fell down. Honestly, genuinely in our heart, we felt the need for it to ask forgiveness because we felt guilty before our brother. We saw our sinfulness and we asked forgiveness. Then the struggle began. How do you keep yourself from reverting back to the same things over and over again? Well, the Church imposes on us great struggles of the fasting. Fasting rules are stricter than any other time of the year. The Church imposes on us a daily coming to the canon and the great canon of St. Andre that helps to soften our heart. Soften from what? Do you see all the words of the canon, all the words of the service come to belittle us, to fight our self-esteem? If you follow the service throughout the Lent, you'll find that the biggest culprit that we have is, in fact, the self-love, and which is breeding the self-esteem, the spirit of self-esteem, the self-love and self-centeredness, selfishness, and accepting of oneself as being the center of the universe, accepting oneself as we are, in fact, gods. We have created an idol out of ourselves. And because of that, if not everything evolves around ourselves, we are miserable, my beloved. So the Church knows that and gives us medicine against it, the antidote, against the pride, because that comes from the pride and self-love, self-esteem, all comes from pride. And so the Lord wisely through His Church gives us the antidotes of humility pies, starting from the asking of forgiveness, of bowing down to the ground. Not just say, oh, forgive me, and shake a head, but bow down to the ground. Head first down to the floor. Humble yourself, says the Church. And we do it unwillingly at first. The second, we're badgered all the time with these prayers of the Yeprem Sirin. Hospital, what they call Lord and my Master of my life. A spirit of idleness, despondency, and ambition give me not. But the spirit of chastity, humble mindedness, patience, and love bestow upon me, thy servant, in the last prayer. And ye, O Lord, my King, grant me to see my own countless feelings, and not to judge or condemn my brother. These are the words that we have badgered on over and over throughout all the length. These are the words that we must allow to sink in, because they're like water on an icy, on an iceberg of the heart. They absolutely will soften and will melt. Or these are these words that if we really accept them, these words manage to really take, as if somebody's taking the shovel and starts to break up the dirt that's become hardened up through the winter, through the frost and through the packed up. And as being the earth of the heart is being cultivated, is being brought to back to be aired, so that it can absorb and keep life and give life. This is what the church has been trying to do. Woe to us when we neglect the church service. But we think it's not necessary for us. It's only necessary for monks and priests to attend the services, because we don't get the benefit. We don't get that daily cultivating of the earth, and daily working on it, taking out the stones. And you know, anybody that ever worked in a garden, they know what you have to do to prepare the land, to put a seed in there so that it will start growing. You have to know how much care you have to take. Well, this is all the church was doing with our heart, all this great length. If we listened and paid attention to what the letter to the Lord was telling us, and what the Psalter was telling us, let us say that we struggled, and we felt countless times during this great Lent, and we've come to the end of the great Lent. Are we willing to now to face the week of the Passion of the Lord? An awesome time, but an awesome time which is filled with the greatest power of the grace of God. The services that are coming up ahead of us, just the first 3 days of the reading of the whole Gospel is going to be read, and finishing off on the fourth day. Every day the pre-sanctified liturgy, the Holy Thursday, the first day of the time when the Lord had given His body and blood to His disciples, when He started the divine liturgy, and the awesome Passion day of Friday, the suffering of the Lord and the death on the cross. We are going to have a chance to relive all of that, but on one condition. If our heart is able to feel it, if our heart still hasn't softened, if we haven't able to cast away the self-centeredness, the self-esteem and the pride, and our heart is still hardened up, and we cannot accept our neighbor in the image of Christ, and we cannot accept and love him, well, our heart is not sensitized enough so for us to feel the greatest services that are lay ahead of us in the Passion Week. We're not going to be able to feel the beauty of the church, just services. We are not going to be able to co-suffer with the Theotokos when she watched her son on the cross, and when her heart was pierced with a spear. We're not going to be able to co-suffer with the Mother of God, to share her feelings or feel what she had felt, even to the slightest degree. We're not going to be able to feel the betrayal that St. Peter had made of Christ. We're not going to suffer with him and weep with him, recognizing that we betrayed Christ countless times in a year's time. In fact, if our heart has not prepared itself yet, if it's not ready yet, we're not going to be able to feel nothing of the service. And the service will go on, but we will not participate in it. The condition of the heart to be able to participate and feel what is going to happen. Be only if our heart is ready to absorb and to feel the grace of God. If, my beloved, you and I, and we can say that we have not done our job in this great land, we have not sufficiently cultivated and worked on our heart, we have not sufficiently humbled ourselves, we have not sufficiently stirred up and got rid of all the big rocks and all the filth and dirt that is in the heart. We have not sufficiently cleaned the heart. We haven't kicked out the evil spirits, especially the spirits of self-esteem. We have not cleaned out the spirits of envy and anger and hatred for our brother. These pigs that are still abiding and they still have left junk in our hearts, we still have to clean out. We still have to clean it out. If we look at ourselves honestly, we'll find that this is so. This is so. So what do? Do we despair? Do we say, well, I blew it. This Lent is gone and I don't stand a chance anymore. There's no more time to prepare a heart. No. Even at the last hour of the set of the Lord, even at the 11th hour when you come, but even at the time of the crucifixion on the cross, the robber was able to change that. But it is a matter of conscious acknowledgement, conscious working on our heart and wanting to be free from the coldness and wanting to submit ourselves to the law of God, to God. It is conscious submission to God's will that is going to do it. It is conscious giving up of one's own pride, giving up of one's own self-esteem and self-love, and one's unconsciously looking at ourselves and saying, yes, I am this sinner, and I cannot lie when I ever receive communion. When the priest says that I am the chief, I must say that I am the chief or the biggest sinner. The priest says it, and I have to say it. St. Paul said it, St. John Chrysostom was written that prayer, said it, and I must say it. And when there is a voice inside of you saying, no, you cannot be as bad as this one, or that one, or this one. If you have a voice that's saying you that, you cannot be bad as that one that's laying in a gutter, or that one that never pays a penny for upkeep, or that one, or this fornicator, or this blasphemer. When the voice tells you that, beloved, understand that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is not the voice of your guardian angel. For a guardian angel would not want you to be proud. But a guardian angel would give you the voice, yes, it is you. You are the greatest sinner. Humble yourself. Do not pay attention to the sins of your brother. Know your own self, your own sins. And remember that prayer that the Church has been giving you from the first day of the Lent. That do not allow yourself to condemn your brother, to judge your brother. You cannot see your sins. You cannot see yourself in the light that you are. You cannot see your own arrogance. You cannot see your own terrible turning, betraying Christ on every day. Well, woe unto you because you cannot see it. Woe unto me because I cannot see it. The guardian angel will tell you, you cannot see it because you haven't worked enough on your heart. You didn't want to soften your heart enough. You're still holding back to that spirit of self-esteem. That's the hardest one to conquer. That is the hardest one to conquer. It always seems to come back. The spirit of self-esteem, which is in the Pelagia, and those who have read, it says, I think it's the number 8 demon, which is very difficult to cast out. You think you subdue him, you think you got him, you got rid of him, and he's going to just sneak in from another side. And he continues to come and badger us. But it is not impossible to cast him out. It is not impossible. With God's grace, everything is possible. But it is absolutely impossible if we still allow our heart to be not cultivated, and if our heart is not cleaned up, if the house of our heart is not cleaned up, if we are not willing to submit ourselves and really work hard for the attainment of the kingdom of heaven. And if we still did not understand that the kingdom of heaven is not someplace out in the stratosphere, it's not someplace out in another part of the world, it's not in the mountains, it's not even in a church building, but it is in your heart, in your heart. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. That's where you're going to feel Christ. That's where you're going to feel the love for Him, or you're going to feel indifference for Him. That's where you're going to feel the love of your neighbor, or you're going to feel hatred for your neighbor, or indifference. My beloved, it is time. It is time to put absolutely the last resort that we have, all the strength that we have, to muster and take that axe or take that hammer or take that mallet and start to breaking up that rocks that are still there in that heart. It is, the time is now. The time is now to work on ourselves and to humble ourselves. The deeper we humble ourselves, the better we have a chance. And to submit ourselves to God's will and say, I do not want to be a child of disobedience. I want to be a child of obedience. I want to belong to my Lord. I want my Lord and Savior, Master, be actually a master of my life, a master of my heart. I want my Lord to rule me, to command me, to guide me. I don't want to serve anybody except my Lord. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. And you see how the evil spirit will not like it. He'll give you trouble. But if you are determined, irregardless what you feel at this moment, if you're determined to follow what I'm saying, you're going to be able to move that rock. You're going to be able to take a mallet and smash that stone and break it up into little tiny particles where it can become earth and it can give you fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is peace, love, patience, endurance, but most of all, it'll be a true humility, a true humility, by which you will feel that you are not above your brother. Your brother is the one to love. Your brother is the one to help. Your brother is the one to live for, not oneself. My beloved, the resurrection of Lazarus comes with a hopeless case. Lazarus was a hopeless case. 4 days he was stinking already, says his sisters. He stinks already. This is what we are. We may be stinking already from all our passions, from all the dirt inside of our hearts. Yet, we should not despair. We should know that Christ has the power, as He showed in the resurrection of Lazarus. He says, "Come out, Lazarus." He says, "Come out, Lazarus." After 4 days, after he was thinking, he was able to resurrect them. When Christ can do that to us, He can do it, and He will do it if we want to, if we want Him to do it. And the condition is just ask for it. Ask for it, acknowledge your sinfulness, and ask for it. I say, please do this for me. I cannot live like this. I don't want to be a corpse. I don't want to be decomposing, walking around as a corpse decomposing. I don't want to do that. I want to be alive, and only You can make me alive. Say it in your heart. Say it in your heart, not just in your brains, but put it in your heart. Accept the truth that your Savior is only Christ, and only Christ can give you that life. Christ is the truth, Christ is the life, and you will be resurrected. And you and I, both of us, all of us, will be resurrected with Lazarus. And we'll be able to joyfully celebrate this next day. And remember the day. All picture is going to be brought back. But not only to our mind, not only to our head, but inside of our heart. We're going to relive. We're going to be able to relive this event. And then the next day of the entrance, the triumphal entrance of the Lord into Jerusalem. After the resurrection of Lazarus, where the people had heard it was just as fast as communication here. It spread around all the Judea that Christ is king, was he resurrected even the dead? He was able to resurrect even somebody that was decomposing and stinketh already. And they all rejoiced and they all glorified him as a king. They wanted to put him on a throne. And they wanted to have him as the leader. But a leader for what? A leader for this world. But they did not understand that Christ's world is not of this. His kingdom is not of this world. He said so. I am king, he said to Pilate, but my kingdom is not of this world. And if it was from this world, I would have people defend me. I would not never have been allowing anybody to take me a prisoner and put me on a cross. Understand that mystery. Understand that our kingdom is not from this world. And do not pay too much attention to the kingdom of this world. Do not pay too much attention of what you are able to accomplish in this world, but pay absolute attention to what you were able to do for the kingdom of heaven. Whatever deeds we do, let us do it for the kingdom of heaven. Let us do it out of love for God, out of love for the Theotokos. Now some of you have showed extraordinary effort this Lent in working on beautifying the grounds, and it is great, it's good. It's good that you have done that, especially if you've done that for the Mother of God, for the love of the house of the Lord, house of the Mother of God, that you've done that. Then you will get a reward in the kingdom of heaven for it. Do not look for a reward here, because you blow it and it's worthless. Oh, because it will be just, give it a little time, just give it a few weeks or a couple of months, and it's going to be back to the same shambles. But if you offer it truly, all the work that you do, everything that you do, you offer it to the Mother of God genuinely, and you don't want to get anything from it in this earth, then you will have a great treasure that you put in the kingdom of heaven. But to do that, don't judge a brother that didn't work. Just like those of us who, if we try to fast, don't judge those who didn't fast. Because if we judge those who didn't fast, we lose it all. We lose our own fast. In the life of St. Mary, we heard that the brethren went out in the desert and no one knew what feats and what they have done, and they came back for the Passion Week. Nobody said how they have struggled, and they have struggled much, much more than we can ever even dream of struggling. Yet there was no stories to tell. They didn't tell to each other. They didn't try to get some kind of acknowledgement of what they have done here on earth. But they were able to contemplate and think about the eternal life. That's the difference between the true Orthodox teachings and the true teachings of the Church of Christ and then the Antichrist. The Church of Christ is constantly focusing everything on the kingdom of heaven. And the Antichrist Church, it may have the form of this church. It may have the same typicon and the same books that they've just copied and took from us. But they're still living for this world, for the temporary things. They, in this is the difference. The true church will always bring the focus on the kingdom of heaven. It will always look for the kingdom of heaven. Whatever it does, it always has to link with the kingdom of heaven. The true church and the true Orthodox Christians will always look at everything from the eyes of eternal life. Well, the Antichrist church may have everything, but they will look through the eyes of this temporary life, of this temporary world. And they will go and strive for honors and for decorations and for self-esteem, for pride, for satisfaction of self, and so on and so on. All for the temporary things. We shall humble ourselves and we shall look for the kingdom of heaven only. And to understand that that's the only thing that's worthwhile, and that the kingdom of heaven is not going to be shown to us through decorations, through medals, or through crosses with decorations, or through anything. But the reward of the kingdom of heaven is when we find it in our heart. And that can be done even while we're here on earth. For Christ said, some of you will not die until you see the kingdom of heaven. He said that to the disciples. Some of you will not die until you see the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know Saint Seraphim Sarovsky, you've heard his life, you've heard the saints, all the great saints from the beginning of the time. You heard the first time about the kingdom of heaven from Saint Paul, a Christian, a persecutor of Christians, a change in his heart, turned around. He was in the kingdom of heaven. He was taken to a third heaven. But he says there's nothing to describe, no way he can compare anything on this earth to give you a description of what is there. You know that the saints had been given glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, and they felt the kingdom of heaven in their hearts. And let's go after that. Let's go after that, and my beloved, we will be able to find in peace and joy and love, and we'll be able to rejoice in the Lord at all times, and we'll be able to keep that rejoicement even when we're facing our neighbor that we don't seem to like, but we'll be able to love. We'll be able to love our neighbor, and that will give us peace, because then we'll have the love for Christ. Let's work on that most of all. Let's work on having the heart, being able to absorb and feel the grace of God, God's love. Let's work on so the heart will feel God's love, so we in turn will be able to also love Him in return and show the love for Him by the love for our neighbor. Amen.